going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's 8:02 right now. Let's welcome in the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, did the Browns find a diamond, or did they step in it again by drafting Shedeur Sanders?
I think they might have stepped in it again.
Oh.
We don't know. I mean, you're taking a shot, fifth-round pick, no harm there. If you find a diamond, great. If it doesn't work out, well, not that big of a deal.
Well, you said they stepped in it. Would you often step in it for a fifth-round pick?
Yeah, well, I just don't know why you take Dylan Gabriel if you end up with Shedeur Sanders. It makes no sense to me.
Because they really liked one, and then, well, we don't know what made the decision for the other. No, a lot of people are drawing a lot of conclusions on that, though.
Yeah, it's
the same conclusion.
It's exactly what I'd been saying they'd probably do, and that's throw stuff against the wall and hope something stick. And, well, they certainly did that during the draft.
Okay. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So, how would you put the depth chart together right now? Do you rank the quarterbacks in terms of starter on the cusp of being cut?
Well, I would go Joe Flacco starter, Kenny Pickett backup, Shedeur Sanders third quarterback. You cut Dylan Gabriel, put him on the practice squad.
Going to cut a third round QB?
Yeah. Guy's 5'11", Ken.
Then why take him in the third round, Daryl? Then why take him in the third round? Why take him number 94 overall?
I have been asking that question since they made the selection.
Throws the ball through the wall.
Makes no sense to me. Yeah, good luck getting the ball over the offensive line.
All right, Daryl, good God.
No, he's shorter than Baker Mayfield. Remember the conversations we had about Baker?
No, they all run together.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tone. Take it away. Now I'm annoyed. I'm mad.
Well, obviously the Gabriel thing has been confusing to a lot of people, other than it seems like for them to take him where they took him, they overdrafted him completely and felt better than any of the pundits I saw talk about this and probably the other NFL teams. So with that said, doesn't it seem like there's a bit of a confrontation that could be around the corner? Because obviously, one faction had Dylan Gabriel. There's another faction somewhere in that organization who was sitting in that draft who wanted Shedeur Sanders.
Well, I don't know if they wanted Shedeur Sanders. I think that the opportunity just presented itself and they jumped on it. That's just my take on it. Because if they wanted Shedeur Sanders, I don't think that they would have waited till the 144th selection. I mean, did they really look like they wanted him when you saw the video?
No, obviously. Obviously did not. Okay. My question is, it's one thing to throw a couple of names on a depth chart. It's another thing once camp starts, and I mean, rookie minicamp's right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Then when you get the veterans in and you have actual training camp and there's only so many reps to go around,
I know.
How does that actually work in principle?
I have no idea. I asked Kevin Stefanski. I mean, look, the pie is getting divided, and the slices are thinner and thinner now. Started off as a two-man race, then it went to a three-man. Now we got a four-man competition. So it will be fascinating to see how Kevin Stefanski handles this. And if it's truly a four-man competition, or are they going in, even though publicly they're saying, yeah, everybody got a shot to compete, that's what we do here. Or are they going in privately knowing who they want their starter to be? Or their primary competitors, you know, maybe it's really a two-man competition. You know what I'm saying? I can't imagine, though, that they want to put either of these rookies on the field right away. So that's why I think it's good. I think Flacco beats out Kenny Pickett. You know, you can't cut Shador because someone will claim him on waivers. You can cut Dylan Gabriel, because I don't think anybody's going to want him, and then you can get him on your practice squad.
Well, you just think Dylan Gabriel sucks, don't you?
Look, you know what I feel they did with that pick?
What?
Ken, they looked at box scores and like, man, this guy throws for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns, and yeah, let's take him. I don't think 5'11 quarterbacks work in the NFL.
They went to Eugene and visited the guy.
I know, it's great. I just don't think 5'11 quarterbacks work in the NFL.
Well, clearly you don't.
So, Daryl, then, how do you feel?
Ken, I'm taller than him. I don't work in the NFL.
Well, you don't work in the NFL because you're not a good athlete.
Well, I'm just saying, though. Like,
I'm taller than him, too. You want me to play quarterback for the Browns?
No, but I don't know. Maybe you can play some left tackle.
No, because I'm in bad shape. And I was never a good athlete either. Go ahead, Dilemma.
Daryl, the stuff that has come out about how dreadful Shador was working with coaches, whiteboard stuff. Now, obviously, it's a lot of anonymous sourcing.
Yeah, put your name on it. If you're going to say stuff like that, put your name on it.
But the fact that he dropped where he dropped, I mean, couldn't be that far from the truth, right?
I just have a problem with how all that went down. And it's not a new development. We see this, it feels like, every year, where you have one or two quote-unquote anonymous sources that basically dump all over a guy. And I just feel like if you get – and this is – I'm talking before the draft. I'm not talking like after the draft where it's like, okay, this is why he dropped and whatnot. I'm talking before the draft where you got people going after a guy the way they did Shador. And my thing is, if you're going to trash a guy, then put your name on it. You know, and look, I'm sure that there's something there. There's clearly a reason why he went in the fifth round. There's clearly a reason why the Browns made six selections before they moved back in to go get him. And we can, you know, and obviously we're going to speculate on what maybe those reasons are. You know, did he not nail the interviews? Was he not good doing the whiteboard recall? Did he walk in wearing a bunch of jewelry and you know, whatever, and that, you know, put people off? I don't know. I wasn't in the room, but I've read everything that has been said about this kid. He seemed fine on the conference call. He didn't sound arrogant. He didn't sound entitled or anything like that. I will just say this, Anthony. I hope he comes to Cleveland. And he comes with the right attitude and a little bit of a chip on his shoulder to prove everybody wrong. And the Browns end up with their version of Tom Brady from the fifth round of the draft. I mean, that's what you hope for there. And then Andrew Berry will be a genius for waiting that long to take him. And Browns fans will be happy because they got their long-lost franchise quarterback. But do I expect that to happen? Absolutely not. Am I going to be upset if Shador Sanders doesn't turn into that? Absolutely not, because, again, they took a shot here. They took a shot with a fifth-round pick, and I have no issue with that, and that's what you do when you're looking for a franchise quarterback. You take chances.
Well, you have a problem with the third-round pick, though, clearly, with Dylan Gabriel, which it does make me wonder. It's like, I don't want to even say that in the interview, but I'm going to say it in the interview. So they took Dylan Gabriel. They clearly like Dylan Gabriel enough to take him in the third round. And everybody's saying, well, the owner made the pick in the fifth round, which I can't say yes, I can't say no right now. Right. I mean, I've said that he did it with Johnny Manziel, certainly.
I was told Jimmy didn't make the pick.
That, you were told he did not?
Yes. I was told that that was an Andrew Berry selection.
Boy, Andrew Berry looked thrilled to make his own selection, didn't he?
Well, Ken, I'm just relaying the information I was told. That's all I'm doing here.
Maybe he's telling the truth then that it wasn't synced up. Maybe he said he was just tired. I don't know.
Look, I mean, Andrew looked like he was being held hostage. Kevin Stefanski gave the golf clap on the 17th green. It did not look like they were excited, did not look like they felt like they got the steal of the draft, right? There was no high-fiving, there was no hugging, there was no, yeah, our day is... They weren't even excited, their day was done, Ken. It was the last pick they made.
Because I think the messaging was, even if they were there and they took him, and they were like, okay, let's take him, let's see what we have. They knew that it was going to be
a circus
coming around. Whether Shador wants to make it out to be a circus or his dad wants to make it out to be a circus or not, he knew that...
Or the media wants to make it out to be a circus.
Well, the media is going
to
make it a circus. The circus is in town now. All right?
No, but hey, listen.
I'm the carnival barker.
I said this yesterday about the Browns. Not very good at football, but boy, they're great for content.
Well, you
they
wonder,
really
well,
are.
If they're not
going
to be that good this year, I might as well have some fun. This is fun.
I know, but you know what I'm saying, Ken. I mean, starting going all the way back to Johnny Manziel through the Baker thing, then the DeJuan thing, and now we got Jadeur Sanders. Like, I mean, it would be nice if they were really great at football, but like you said, if they're not going to be great at football, they might as well be good for content.
Because I don't want to put it in anybody's ears, but I'm going to, where it's like, all right, did they take Dillon Gabriel? They're like, they like Dillon Gabriel. Dane Brugler had Dillon Gabriel going 135 to the Dolphins because they're both lefties, they're both not that big. And I'm thinking, did they take him like, okay, there's no way we can take another quarterback. We'll fix this wagon right now, and we'll take Dillon Gabriel. And then the fifth round comes around. It's like, oh, you think we can't, but oh, we will.
Ken, we were in the middle of a press conference with the three of the kids from Friday night. I never seen a press conference wrap up faster.
When they made the pick, that's what you guys were doing?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were in the middle of a press conference with Quinshon Judkins, Harold Fannin, and Schlesinger.
Yes.
They were all sitting up there, and the trade happens, the pick happens, and there's awkward silence in the room because everyone's like, what just happened? And you know, someone then says, oh, okay, so I guess the Browns just took Shador Sanders. Hey, what do you think about that? And then I think there were maybe one or two questions got asked after that, and that was a wrap. We all had to get to work because we're all like, what just happened? So, Andrew Berry gave us three very big what just happens during that draft.
It was true. We were at the bar, Lyme and I were, and everybody was watching the Cavs game, and after that pick was made, I was like, man, Kenny Atkinson and Eric Spoelstra could have started fist fighting each other at center court, and nobody would have noticed.
Hey, I saw the Super Bowl Super Browns video. Well done, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. I was sober, by the way. All you people calling us drunks.
I don't know. You looked a little red in the face there, Ken.
I'm always red in the face. I'm getting all loud.
Are they going to credential like the well off media, the Deion Sanders production company? Are they going to be like rookie minicamp next week?
I don't know, but like it was a tsunami of Shador Sanders posts on Brown's social media. Like it wasn't just like a couple. I mean, it just became a massive tidal wave of. And I get it. He's Shador Sanders. And I'm sure they're selling a lot of jerseys right now. I think four Buy Browns tickets emails in my inbox after the pick. So clearly they're ready for Shador Sanders out there at 76 Lucrosa Boulevard. We'll see if Shador Sanders is ready for the National Football
Do we think
League.
Sanders is selling tickets right now?
I don't know if he's selling
tickets. Where do you have him on the depth chart again?
I have fourth.
I have him as the third quarterback because I don't think you can cut him and get him through waivers to the practice squad.
How could you not? He went fifth round. Clearly the NFL doesn't like him except for you. How could you not get him through waivers to the fifth round if you cut him after camp?
Well, I'm I'm just making educated guesses here.
Oh,
Ken.
Okay.
You're asking for my thoughts, so I'm just making educated guesses.
I'm just arguing with you.
I would love to, if somebody actually went out and bought Browns tickets.
I mean, I think if Shedeur Sanders is available on the waiver wire, someone's going to claim him.
I don't know about that, considering they just went 5 rounds without claiming him. I mean, once you get to the 4th round, it's kind of like, all right, this guy could play, he could not play. Once you get to the 5th round, it's like, this guy might not even make the team. And that's with a lot of guys. So I could see a lot of teams going, okay, do we want to take him now? And the Browns were willing to do so. But, I mean, they waited 5 rounds to take the guy.
They made six picks before they traded for him. I get it, but I'm just saying that a little name recognition might help him on the waiver wire. That's all.
Darryl, what did you think of them going linebacker at 33rd overall?
Okay, I lied. That was the fourth surprise moment of the draft, but I love the pick. And I think, too, and I talked about this on the show yesterday, Andrew Berry told us a lot. You know, when he speaks, he doesn't lay his cards on the table. He does that with his actions. And I think that what he's telling us is that they are insulating themselves if JOK is not going to be able to contribute the way he's been able to contribute before. But I like Schlesinger a lot. I think he's a really good player. I was surprised at 33 that's the direction they went, but I don't hate the pick.
I was too. Somebody remarked to me earlier in the afternoon, they were like, I think the Browns are really interested in a nice off-ball linebacker. And I was like, what? I go, nah, he's messing with me. And then sure as hell, they took an off-ball linebacker. But I will admit I'm open-minded to it because of the Big Ten teams that are out there. I only saw a handful of UCLA games. And, you know, you're paying attention to other things. He pops up, but it wasn't a name that I highlighted in my Phil Steele book. Yeah. So, you know, I'll see how it goes. I think that it's exactly what you said. I just don't, just because I didn't make a big deal about him doesn't mean that I think that he's going to be garbage. I want to see what he is. He seems to have a really good attitude. And I know that he was a locker room leader, that you need some guys that are going to police the locker room eventually. Now he's
and
a rookie.
And in a tough spot out there in UCLA, too. I mean,
exactly.
You know, that new program coach went through some stuff.
Yes, and, yes,
and,
yes,
and,
yes.
And also, too, them drafting two running backs, Junkins, 36th overall, and then Sampson in the 4th round. Again, Andrew Berry's not going to come out and say we're not bringing back Nick Chubb, but I think Andrew Berry told you this weekend the odds of them bringing back Nick Chubb just got a lot slimmer.
Were you happy to have Harold Fannin Jr. here?
I like the pick. I really think that's a good, solid pick. I'm really happy that they picked him, and I think Kevin Stefanski is going to be able to really develop his game a little bit here because we know how much Kevin loves those tight ends.
All right, Darryl, we'll talk to you on Friday. All the best.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
Harold Fannin Jr., a brand-new Cleveland Brown. A lot of people were excited about that pick.
You know what? We,
a lot of folks.
We had talked about Harold Fannin, you know, during the season because he had these amazing games against Penn State and Texas A&M.
Yep.
And then he tanked at the combine. Like, his numbers were the 40? He didn't run very well. And, you know, some of my buddies that pay attention to that stuff, they're like, uh-oh, where is he going to fall? Well, he fell to the Browns. So he was an incredible, incredible playmaker. Like, he looked like he belonged on the field in those other games. You can't just say, oh, he's a MAC player. We know, I mean, it's the NFL. It's ridiculous. Guys come from all over the place. So,
yeah.
Northeast Ohio native, had a rough upbringing. And to have his name called by the Cleveland Browns team in Northeast Ohio, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I thought it was a good story. We got a chance again. We get to interview all the guys after they get drafted. Seemed like a fine enough young man. Obviously, you know, he had a real tough way to come up, and he made it out. And I think that it's a great story. Obviously, the story's not finished. And I think that he's a guy who will come in, and as long as he's healthy and everything, should play week one against whoever the hell we play week one. We'll find out on May 14th.
He's 20 years old right now, right?
It's the same thing. He's a July birthday the same way David was a July birthday when he got drafted. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So they like to go young there in that position.
And he converted. Like this. It's not like he's been playing tight end his entire life. So they love the learning curve here. They love trajectory. You know, imagine. Like, how do you think... Where do you think he lines up? Like, where do you think he plays?
Because one of the knocks on him was blocking. And I asked Andrew about it. It was almost like I was one of the ones. Like, for a second, I'm like, Andrew, I didn't say that. Like, he was pretty defensive about the non-blocking stuff with Harold Fannin Jr. Because you would think he's, I mean, he's 6'2". He's thick enough that he could block. But, I mean, again, David was a guy who had to learn how to block. David was not a blocking guy when he first came out in the draft.
Here's Stefanski.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Stefanski. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
On Fannin right after they drafted him. This is from that press conference.
The tape jumps out, like you said. I mean, you watch Penn State, watch Texas A&M. He's a very productive player. Coach Loeffler did an awesome job with him at Bowling Green, moving him around the board, like AB said, like a queen in chess. And he's very versatile. He's a young man. I think he's just 20 years old. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of development there, but excited about the versatility that he brings. And it's on tape. He really lines up all over. He's a Wildcat quarterback. He does a lot for the football team, and it's a young player that we feel like can ascend.
Well, I think you're looking at a lot more 12 personnel, two tight ends, single running back, kind of the bread and butter of what a Stefanski offense would usually be.
Yeah, Harold Fannin Jr. That highlight that we played, a terrific call right there on ESPN Plus against Akron.
Another great job.
It was a handoff on a jet. Like, it was 4th-and-2. Everybody in the building knew who was getting the football, and Harold Fannin took it to the house. Like, he kind of had that ability to do that
like
stuff.
Like the end of a basketball game where, you know, like you got to stop one guy. They have one guy right now and they didn't stop him. You could hear it on Friday night. Gerard did a ton of those games with you, right, Anthony? Yeah. Like Gerard was over
Gerard,
the moon on
he it. Was passionate about wanting to get Harold Fannin Jr. And then when they took Harold Fannin Jr., it was like they drafted a member of his family. He was a very big fan of his. He had talked about how he had etched out some extra time to talk to him before games, things like that during broadcasts. Gerard is a huge fan, a Harold Fannin Jr. Because of you, I watched more of him than I ever would have thought of just because you were saying, Kenny, you got to see this guy. He's a freak. He's amazing.
Watch the highlight reel against Texas A&M. He's running. People are like, he's not fast enough. Look at him in that game. He's running away from all those guys.
Yeah. The other, Quinshon Judkins is an exciting back. I want to see. Obviously, there's going to be a comparison between he and Trevion Henderson and what the New England Patriots are going to be able to do with Trevion Henderson compared to us and Quinshon Judkins. Dylan Sampson's another interesting one, not just with the quarterbacks. And then, again, Mason Graham is going to be a 10-year guy, I think, that helps out your D-line. I know what Andrew Berry said on Thursday night about the pass rush element. I still tend to believe it's more he sets up opportunities for other people like Mike Hall, like Myles Garrett, obviously, hopefully Isaiah McGuire, Obo Okoronkwo. I think that he's more of that guy because he's more of the guy that could take up space with double teams. He's more of the guy that you have to be more cognizant of, and I think that he does not have that type of left-right ability. He does not have, as of right now, the same thought of being able to move outside in the same way you would with Mike Hall. At least that's what it was originally thought. But that's just my opinion on all those other guys. What is your depth chart right now before I go to the phones? Because Daryl's like, well, Dylan Gabriel's the one who's getting cut. Which I'm sorry. I hate to call out Daryl here. I didn't want to bog it down and turn into an argument. I thought Daryl's argument or Daryl's answer to me was garbage about the star power of Shedeur Sanders being cut. Maybe Daryl ended up being right in the end, but I only think that Daryl's going to be right if Shedeur Sanders goes out there and performs well. If he doesn't perform that, hey, this guy really jumps off the page here. If he doesn't perform to that, then I think he's getting put on the practice squad. 5 rounds of teams passed up on the guy. If you were the one who cut him and he doesn't look that incredible off tape, I think they're going to go, yeah, we're justified in why we didn't pick him up. Go ahead and put him on your practice squad. That's the way I think a lot of teams are thinking about this guy. Like, I don't think we understand. Here's the hard part. I don't think people understand just how many people are just like, yeah, this is not worth the squeeze. We're not doing this.
The hard part is, you know, we can't definitively say Jimmy Haslam made the pick, even though we're all thinking it. You know, Daryl was told that wasn't the case. I imagine the Browns would tell Daryl that's not the case. But the reality is, it's just hard to conjure up a way that this wasn't at least, at the very least, assisted by Jimmy Haslam. So if that's the case, what does that change? Like,
is the owner going to make sure he's on the active roster?
Well, let me ask you this. Is he really selling tickets? Is he selling merchandise?
He's selling his own merchandise, it seems, according to that report about his TikTok or God knows what.
Yeah, I would love to know the truth behind this, because I do think we can't be naive and acting like that doesn't matter. If a guy is selling merchandise, if he's selling tickets.
Tickets are the thing that matters.
Can't the owner come down the steps and go, you got to find a way to keep him on the team?
Is he selling tickets?
I don't think so, but people are telling me I'm wrong. People are telling me I'm crazy.
It's one thing to be excited about Shedeur Sanders. It's another thing to buy tickets over Shedeur Sanders. Are you buying tickets?
If he would have gone number two overall, is he selling tickets then?
Yeah, he's number two overall. He's fifth round now. Clearly, people think there's something wrong with him.
The fans that loved him and would have still loved him at two, what, those fans are not going to go out and buy his stuff now because he was fifth round?
They're going to invest $3,000 on season tickets?
That's what I'm asking. I'd love to hear from those people. I would love to hear from the people that think this is an all-time coup, that the Browns got him. And if you're that confident in him, like Jonathan Peterlin, I can't wait to hear Jonathan on the afternoon show. If you're that thrilled with him, don't you just think he'll come in and win the job eventually? Like, don't you think that he's that the talent didn't go away?
Well, I mean, I talked to a few people from Boulder yesterday. One said something crazy. I don't even want to say it, which I said at the beginning of the show, and I still don't want to say it. You want me to say it now, or you want me to say it later?
Well, we're running out of time here, Ken, so you probably ought to get to it.
So I talked to a few people, and they used the term, because I said, hey, man, the term not organized gets thrown around. The struggle on the whiteboard gets thrown around. They had said, you know, he is a leader with his offensive lineman. He takes them to dinner once a week, which we did not know that. Says I wrote down, nice young man. Somebody said the best move in Browns history to take this guy in the fifth round. There are people who are just in love with him and infatuated with him. He said there will be controversy. Some way or another, there will be. It's Deion. It's Shedeur. It's the family. There will be some controversy. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Because I'm like, man, fifth round pick should be seen, not heard. They should be seen in practice at camp. But he is a star. He is very much a star. Then one of them said, and I wasn't going to say it in the open because I think immediately it loses the credibility if it says in the open. But the one person did say to me, and I'm reading this, and you can see me on camera. I got to hold it up and make sure you don't see names here. They said, one for one, everything equal quarterback competition, he will be the starter. I says, week one? He says, week one. I went, that's a bit strong. That's a little much. Laying on a bit thick there, aren't you? Like, I'm going, he's a fifth-round pick. Right now, he's fourth on the depth chart. He's going to have to take a hell of a run. He does seem to be more the quarterback type that Kevin Stefanski would want. But
well, all things aren't equal. They aren't going to be equal. He's not going to get the same amount of reps as the other guys.
It's true. I want it to be equal, though, because you can change out. What scares me the most is that you can take out general managers and head coaches. You're not removing owners. So if you took the guy, fine. If Jimmy wanted to make the pick in the fifth round, it's his team. It's a fifth-round pick. I mean, to be honest with you. Because you could say, hey, if he doesn't work out, you guys can just cut him. All right? But if he looks like he is lost in the preseason, training camp, rookie camp, the whole thing, if he just looks like he's lost and you're forcing him on the team, that just makes me worried about the future.
Well, yeah.
That just there's plenty of guys driving around going, yeah, Ken, you should be. Yeah, but you got to understand, like, some way you got to pull the nose up on it and get it going in the right direction. Fifth round picks to me are not that big of a deal. This is the most fun I've had over a fifth round pick that I can remember. The most interested I've been in a fifth round pick, other than when they took Ryan Pomperion.
So they've got two joint practices scheduled. They have Panthers and Eagles scheduled in the preseason,
yes.
Right? And normally that is where you play your starters. You do that in the joint practices, and then whenever the preseason game that week comes up, you see the third guy at quarterback. Are we going to see a difference there? Is Shedeur going to be the guy in these joint practices where you put him under some more live fire than probably against the ones from these other teams?
No. No. That's a Joe and Kenny Pickett thing. I think that in the joint practices or the
I don't know that I need to see Joe do any of that.
No,
Joe is here to be the 40-year-old.
Wait a minute. Are you talking with the red jersey on in the practice?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe's going to want the reps. So will Kenny Pickett want the reps? Those guys are fine. I'm talking in the preseason games. I would just play.
Those preseason games don't count, though. They're playing against the 89th guy on the roster.
They don't, but they still have to take live fire, and guys are trying to earn spots on the roster, and they're going to be.
Yeah, I want to see him getting fired against the Eagles' actual Super Bowl championship defensive line and not.
Yeah, but they're not supposed to hit him. Like, there is, you and I know very well there's a difference between actually knowing you're going to.
Maybe we make an exception.
I think in those two games, you're going to get to see a lot of Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. A lot of those guys. The other two, it's probably either going to be Joe or Kenny or Kenny and Joe. And then right now, Dylan Gabriel's QB3 and on the practice squad is Shedeur Sanders. He has the entire summer and fall, early fall to change that.
I would say it's Joe, Kenny, Dylan, Shedeur. As a guy who likes Shedeur Sanders. Number four is Shedeur.
That's the depth chart come
the day one of training camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about September?
I don't know about that. They all have a chance to. They all have a chance to elevate themselves. I can't guarantee the position is wide open. It's nobody. I think that they feel it's really nobody's job. Now, I think for the fans, they feel it's Joe Flacco's job to lose, which I would probably agree with as of right now. But I feel that they are going to try to be as open-minded as they possibly can. I think that Kevin really likes Kenny Pickett. He's already played in the NFL. I think that they really, no matter what you and I think of Dylan Gabriel, I know he has a very strong arm. They went out there and they visited him. Like, that's another thing that Daryl said. I think they saw him off the Stetson. They went to Eugene. They visited him personally and worked him out. What are you talking about? So you can't just tell me that they looked at stats and said, well, they're going to take that guy in the third effing round? No. Like, they make that pick. I would say you make a pick for quarterback with passion. Well, damn it, you made a pick with passion right there, because I was pretty surprised that you went after Dylan Gabriel in the third round. So if you're making a passionate pick like that, as of right now, he's the guy who's staying. And if it's Shedeur Sanders, the NFL has already told you they feel completely different than how fan bases feel. So they are more than willing, I think, to let him go on the practice squad and be the Browns quarterback until something changes. Which our boss texted me, well, what if they go 2-6 to start the season? What if they do go 2-6 to start the season? Yes, I think that if Shedeur Sanders is announced a starter, if they're 2-6 or something like that to go into week 9, yeah, you know what? Probably some fans will go, okay, I'll head over to the stadium to see what he looks like. Yeah. But I don't think that people were ringing the bell for season tickets over a 5th-round quarterback. There's a big damn difference between having a few more beers and acting excited at the bar in Tremont than it is making an investment in season tickets.
It's just amazing to think about somebody as polarizing as he was, as electrifying at times as he was on the football field, helping rescue Colorado from the depths of where they were, to talking about him as a number 2 overall pick, to now he's in the 5th round and he still has cameras on him wherever he goes. Like, the cameras are going to come up and follow him to rookie minicamp, and it's just hard to fathom that guy not being on the football team.
Eddie and Westlake, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Eddie.
Yeah, Lima, you couldn't be more correct, man. There's no way in the world. Well, first of all, okay, so listen, let me preface this. So the draft, we know it's a science, and if you're 50% for your career, you're elite, okay? Andrew Berry, he hit on about 6 of 7 of these draft picks, in my opinion. You know, that Dylan Gabriel pick didn't make any sense because, you know, the guy is, you know, as tall as my daughter. She's 5'7", and he has no elite quality. So, you know, and they could say all that about that accuracy and all that. Man, that's in college, man. I mean, Colt McCoy threw for, you know, 13,000 yards.
Yeah, it's the draft. They all do it in college. It's the draft, Eddie. It's the draft. They all do it in college.
You can throw 3-yard passes and guys break tackles.
Are you talking about Shedeur Sanders? Because that's what Shedeur Sanders is accused of.
What I'm talking about with Shedeur Sanders is Shedeur Sanders completed 70% of his passes, get hit in the mouth every play. There's no way in the world that Dylan Gabriel is going to be – There's just no way in the world. This guy has all, listen, he's like a Kevin Stefanski type of quarterback because he doesn't have that. He doesn't have a huge arm, but it's good. It's adequate enough. It's good enough.
Dylan Gabriel actually, hold on. Dylan Gabriel had almost a 73% completion percentage, which is just under Shedeur Sanders. Hold on, man, and averaged more air yards than what Shedeur Sanders did. Just tell me you didn't watch Dylan Gabriel and you didn't like Dylan Gabriel.
Ken, have you been watching? You've been watching football for a long time, man.
Yeah.
Do you know any elite six-footers? I mean, like, come on, man. With no elite quality.
Again,
come on,
I'm
there's
not.
None of them. There's none of them. There's no.
Eddie.
Not a one.
I didn't like the pick, but I don't like your reasoning because I think your reasoning is flawed.
Well,
and I'm giving
is,
you your reasoning that's absolutely flawed.
Are our guys the smartest guys in the room, and they're going to have the first elite 5'7" quarterback in the league?
I mean, come on, man. Shrinking.
He's getting smaller as time goes on. It's a Russian stacking doll of quarterbacks.
It's down to 5'5", since you said.
Okay, Eddie, you're going to have to get your facts straight and get back because that made zero sense whatsoever.
My God, he can't even go to Cedar Point.
And Lima, if you want Eddie to back you up on it, that's a sad set of affairs on your argument. Mike and
air yards are poor for both of them.
Mike in Cleveland, you're next up on the fan.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Happy?
Hey,
I just want to say this. I hear all this talk and stuff. Shedeur got a bum deal in the way. He got picked in the fifth round. They say he's a fifth round quarterback, but is he really a fifth round quarterback? You see what I'm saying? He's more like he was picked to be number one, or number two,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that this thing with the fifth round, I hate to say it, it's going to help him because it's going to humble him a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
That's obviously because, what I think that a lot of people are hoping. I mean, he's going to have to – I don't think we understand that. He's going to have to come in here. He's going to have to work his ass off. He's going to have to work his ass off on the whiteboard, and he's going to have to prove to these guys that no matter – because there's definitely – guys. Mike, thank you for the call. I think that there's a lot of hoopla where people just think that he's a selfish, arrogant, cocky, me-first guy and doesn't care about his teammates. And I guarantee you, in a roster of 53 men who are veterans in that league, there's definitely guys who feel the same way about him. He's got to go in there and he's got to prove them wrong. He's got to prove them different. He's a fifth-round guy. He has to prove all that. Yes, Owen?
And we won't know the answer to this for 5 years or so, but if one day Shedeur it becomes the guy that that people say that he could become, that pays off to be the number two quarterback prospect from the draft or even the number one quarterback prospect from this draft and is an all pro and all that. And he comes out and goes, when they took Gabriel, it really humbled me. Would it have all been worth it then? The third round pick and Gabriel gets cut. And
if he becomes a great player,
Shedeur becomes the guy, because that's what it feels like. That's the only thing that seems to make sense about the way in which they took these two guys.
I don't believe that the NFL acted nefarious. I don't think that they colluded against him. I think that he did not make a good representation of himself to these teams. These teams are obsessed with highlights. They're obsessed with winning. They're obsessed with winning through having a great quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, you stay up all night long thinking of how you can get great quarterbacks. They're just going to let a quote-unquote great quarterback fall to the fifth round. So something he did, whether it was not meet with a certain amount of teams or whatever, rubbed these guys the wrong way to the point where they let him fall to the fifth round. If that doesn't humble you, I don't know what does. To having a bunch of cameras around you, on you all the time, where you're the most famous quarterback in college football. So we didn't talk about Cam Ward. Who talked about Cam Ward? You're the most famous quarterback in college football. You fall to the fifth round. People are calling you up and pranking you. There's memes all over the internet about you, about how your interviews went, making fun of you. If that doesn't humble you, then no, you will never get it. And if you don't get it, and you certainly don't get it by the end of camp, then you'll get cut. You should get cut. And I'm here defending Dylan Gabriel. I didn't even like the pick. I would not have taken him. I didn't. I had him ninth out of 11 quarterbacks. Ninth. Okay, well, I'm a radio host. I hope that they know more. Enough to keep the guy on the roster as a third-round choice. Because you have to make a decision for football by the time camp comes around. So if you want to put him on the practice squad, put Shedeur Sanders on the practice squad. Put Shedeur Sanders on the practice squad. Because fans don't pick these guys up off of practice squads. teams do. And the other 31 teams said no five times over.